This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. What do you do when you face unexpected, painful, and hard times in your life? In the Old Testament, we meet a man many describe as God's friend. Job had a strong, living faith in God, but God allowed incredibly hard trials into his life. Today, Pastor Sam Horn will conclude a sermon titled, God's Friend Job. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
Here's the conversation Job has no idea is going on. Job's down here living his life, and there is this incredible conversation going on in a very real realm where all of the intelligent created beings in the universe are watching and hearing, and there's a conversation they're witnessing between God and Satan. And God has said, have you considered my servant Job? And Satan says, of course we've all considered him, and everybody knows exactly why he's doing what you just pointed out. We all know why he serves you. You put it this way, does Job serve you for no reason? Of course he serves you. And the reason is well known to everybody here. And God says to Satan, behold, everything that he has is in your hand. Now let me stop for a minute and ask you a very personal question. How would you feel and how would you respond if you overheard God saying to Satan about you, everything that he or she has is in your hand to do with as you wish. You just can't touch their life. All of their possessions, all of their wealth, their livelihood, their family, their children, you can do whatever you want with it, but you cannot touch the person of my servant. If God said that to Satan about you, would you be okay with that? That's a very sobering question. That's the 9/11 of your personal life. That's the plane that just flew into your world and flew into your life, and it exploded. And you woke up one morning, and by the end of that day, life as you knew it was never going to be the same. And you have a ton of questions you don't even know how to ask. How do you even process the death of all of your children in one afternoon? It's like blow after blow. It's like wave after wave after wave. It touches every venue of Job's life. This suffering is described in God's word, and here's what God wants you to see about that suffering. It's not circumstantial. It's not just accidental. This is a ruthless accusation that is coming against Job by Satan. And he's saying, listen, I know why he serves you. He serves you because of what you give him. This isn't Job loving you because you're God. This is Job liking you because of what you give him. And so the minute you take away the stuff, Job's heart's gone. There's this incredible accusation that is brought. And then there's this relentless attack on everything, on Job's possessions, on his people, his children, his person, his integrity. By the time it's all done, his three wise friends that represent the wisdom systems of the world come to him, and they're basically saying, Job, we don't know what's going on, but we do know this. You cannot be righteous. Because God does not do this to righteous people. And so if this is happening to you, then you just need to get honest, because somewhere in there is something that's causing God to do this. And so here is Job, and he is all alone. As this unfolds in real time, he is all alone. Everything is gone. For the second time, I mean, Satan has taken away everything, and Job falls to his face, he falls to his knees, and he worships, and here's what he says. Shall we receive good and not evil? Here's what he says. Naked came I into the world, and naked go I out. In other words, I'm going out just like I came in. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you know what God said? I want you to know something. Job, my servant, did not sin with his lips. I don't know how. How do you do that? I have two children who we love dearly. Beth and I love these children dearly, and we pray for them often. I cannot imagine going through what Job did. I don't think you could either. God has chosen that path for some of you like he chose it for Job. And I think if you could stand up and testify of that part of Job's journey, you would say to the rest of us, you have no idea. You have no idea. And you know what? We don't. But Job does. Everything was touched. His friends accused him of hidden sin. His wife came to him. Think about Job's wife, Mrs. Job. Because everything that happened to Job affected her. She lost children too. All of her possessions were gone with Job's. All of what happened to Job affected her. And so before we're too hard on her and we're too harsh with her, here she comes to Job in all of her anguish and in all of her pain. And she says to Job, Job, how long are you going to keep arguing that God is good? This isn't good. What has happened to us here isn't good. The loss of our children, are you kidding me? That's not good. The loss of all our wealth, that's not good. The loss of your health, that's not good. Job, how long are you going to sit here in this ash heap and keep exalting the goodness of God and your own integrity? Stop blessing God. Stop talking about how good God is. That's the idea behind cursing. It's not saying a bad word to God. It's simply saying, stop calling God blessed. Stop talking about a God who does this to people. And that's where we're at a lot of times, isn't it? Somebody does something in our life and it hurts. Somebody touches something in our life and it just devastates. And we stop saying good things about that person. Even if they're a good person and they've done many good things, we stop saying good things about that person because they hurt us or they did something that was unrighteous in our eyes. And so here is Job's wife, and she's doing the very thing that you and I do when we have these moments, and she wants to know, Job, how long are you going to keep holding on to a God that you think is good when everything in our life evidences the fact that you got it wrong? He's not good in this. This is not good. And Job says, shall we receive good and not disaster also from the hand of the Lord? I mean, you can just see how this unfolds. These unseen, unforeseen, unexplained attacks are not coming out of nowhere. They are coming out of a spiritual being who is trying to shame God in the courts of heaven. And God says, I have a champion. I have a servant. And his name is Job. And I'm going to put everything on this gospel risk taker. Because this gospel risk taker, I promise you, when he gets in that dark place and he gets in that hard space, his living faith in me, his wholehearted, single focus, fully trusting faith will sustain him. He won't abandon me. He won't turn against me. He won't speak evil of me. Do what you will. And so this war unfolds. Job affirms all of this in word and deed. Listen to what he does. He affirms the providence of God. In the midst of all of this, when all of this is going down, here's Job's affirmation. Naked came I from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He affirms the goodness of God. He said to his wife, shall we receive good from the Lord and not evil also? In all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. He affirms the sovereignty of God. He affirms God's right to do all this. He said this, though he slay me, even if he takes away my life. And it sure looked that way, didn't it? Though he slay me, yet will I what? Trust him. It's an amazing statement. He affirms the faithfulness of God. I know that my Redeemer lives and will stand upon the earth, and after my skin has been destroyed, yet in my flesh will I see God. He affirms the faithfulness of God. He affirms the power and the authority of God. I know that you can do all things, Job says when he talks to God in chapter 42. I know that you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. And at the end of the day, here's the greatest statement Job makes. He trusts in the midst of all of this unanswered, unexplained suffering. He says, he knows the way that I take. And when I am tried, I will come forth as gold. Now, we read these in Job and they sort of unfold for us, but they become for us this immense application, very personalized in our own lives. Because here's what Job did. Here's the application of all of this. Job turned to God, Job clung to God, and Job hoped in God. In the midst of all of this, he turned, he clung, and he hoped. He turned to God with all of his heart. Listen to the words. The Bible says, out of the mouth, the heart speaks. So what did Job say? What poured out of his mouth when he was in the furnace and God kept turning up the heat? What came out of his mouth? And what came out of his mouth were the things we just read together. He clung to God with all of his strength. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. That's an amazing statement. And he hoped in God. He never abandoned his faith. He never wavered in his obedience. He never spoke wickedly about God, and he never spoke sinfully to God. But Job did a lot of talking in the book in the midst of suffering. And thousands of years later, James says, now when I want you to think about an approved man, a gospel risk taker, who God equipped to tell the beautiful story of the gospel in the most difficult place and in the darkest space for a lengthy period of his life, at great personal cost, what came out of his mouth and what was displayed in his life? And James says, if I could sum that all up in one word, it's the word steadfast. What came out of his life and what came out of his lips, James says, if I could sum it all up, I mean, you could go back for 42 chapters and you could watch the orchestration of this. You could watch the unfolding of this. You could watch what comes out of Job's mouth. You could hear what comes into Job's ears from his friends. You could see it all. And James says, now, if I were going to put one word on the 42 chapters that sum up Job's life, here's the word. He was steadfast. He endured. So if God were to take the season of life that you're in that you would rather not be in, that season where it was so full of pain, that season where the just seemed like the wave just came over and over and you got knocked down by the first wave and you got up and you were just trying to catch your breath and a bigger wave came and knocked you right down. And you've all been out there in the ocean and experienced that. It's one thing when you're experiencing that on vacation at the ocean, it's a different thing when that's really what's going on in your life. And here's a question that James wants you to think about. Would God describe that season in your life with the word steadfast? And the only way that steadfastness is going to be the mark of our life is when our faith is living, when it is wholehearted, single-focused, and fully trusting. And so what is it that we are trusting? And here's what we're trusting. We're trusting that God is doing something bigger than we understand. That's what we have to trust. James says it this way. We No, you have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the end, the purpose, the goal, the telos. You have seen the end of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and mercy. So what is God up to? What is God up to? And so here's what God is up to. And the reason we know this is because we have a man who endured for a season, and we have 42 chapters that tell us about what happened to Job, but they also tell us a much bigger story, and that's the kind of thing that God is doing in your suffering, even though you may be like Job and you don't know about it. So what is God doing? Well, he's proving the preciousness, the authenticity of the faith of his servant. Peter said it this way. You know 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the tested authenticity, the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, even the gold that perishes, even when it's tested by fire, you have something more precious than that, that your faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. God says, I want, Satan, you want to know something? I want you to see the genuineness of that faith. You have accused my servant. You have falsely accused. Do you realize, folks, that Satan is in heaven and he's making false accusation after false accusation after false accusation, not just about Job, but about you? And God says, all right, you've made an accusation against my servant. I'm going to show you the genuineness of that faith. Bring it on. Turn up the heat. And at every point, Satan has to come back to God and report. And God's like, well, how did it go? So what'd you find out? Well, okay, you know, we took away his stuff and he still follows you. But let me just tell you something, God. Skin for skin. All that a man has will he give up for his life. And the reason that I haven't been able to get him to turn or to abandon or to deny is because you won't let me touch the one thing that he cherishes above everything else, and that's his life. And God says, all right, you can touch his body. You can do anything you want. You can fill it up with the worst and most painful of diseases. You just can't take his life away because that's not yours. That's mine. And so it all happens, and Job says, in the most dark moment, this gospel risk taker, not knowing anything's going on in heaven, just lifts his voice and says, though he slay me, I am going to trust him. Wow. In the city of Peru, numbers of years ago, the Peruvian football team was in the world championship. They hadn't been in the world championship many times in the past, but they were that year. And so all of Peru, all of Lima, all of Peru was watching this. And when their team scored the winning goal, there was a minor earthquake that registered in the city of Lima because so many people got off their couches and were jumping up and down. This is true. You can actually go and see this. This is actually true. These people were so excited that their team had scored the winning goal that they were jumping up and down, and there were so many people jumping up and down at the same time that they created a minor earthquake. The earth literally moved because some guy in a Peruvian jersey took a little white ball and put it in a net. And the whole country shook with joy. You say, well, what's the point of that? We're talking about Job. There is a heavenly audience to this, and they are watching this one player, and he is down there, and everything that the other team has is being thrown at him. And at the moment, at the most critical moment, he fires a shot, and it goes right into the goal. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And I promise you, what went on in heaven that moment was incredibly greater than that little tiny earthquake that got caused in the city of Lima, Peru some years ago. And Satan was shamed in front of the entire cosmic intelligences. And then God did this to deepen and mature Job's faith, and he does it to deepen and mature your faith. He displays the beauty of his compassion and the deep mercy that is such a part of his nature in times like this. And all of this results in the deepening of our intimacy with him. Let me say it to you this way. When you go through a dark moment in life, I, many years ago, had a friend, and Beth and I were going through a very dark period in our own lives because of Beth's cancer. And this friend was going through his own very deep journey because of the unexpected death of his oldest son. And our two lives converged in those two trials and in those two dark places. And I don't know how to explain this to you, but I can just tell you this. There were days where we would just get together and we would sit in his car, or we would sit in my car. We'd be out at a Starbucks, or we'd be at a Dunkin' Donuts, or we'd be out somewhere, and we couldn't even talk because we were just weeping. And there really weren't any words to say. And sometimes we would talk, and what would come out of our mouth is very raw. It's not the kind of talk you would expect for two mature Christians to have, but that talk was just coming out. It was very raw. And he would sometimes just sit there, and I'd try to say things, and you could just tell that your words weren't really helping, and so you just shut up, thankfully, and then he would do the same. And this went on for over a year. But by the end of that year, our hearts were so knit together that to this day, there's an inseparable, unbreakable friendship that God forged in that time of mutual suffering. When you hurt with somebody else who's hurting, something happens. And here's the big point. When you hurt and God walks with you in that hurt, you and God get tight in ways that you could never, ever. You learn to talk to God. You learn how to express your heart to God. You know how to handle the grief. You actually get to know God. This is what Job said. He said this at the very end. He said, I used to know about you with the hearing of my ear, but now I know you with the seeing of my eye. What he's talking about there is experience. I know you through the experience. What experience? I've learned about you through my suffering. And so as you think about what God is doing, he's not just using you. He's not just displaying things. He is actually deepening his relationship with you. And he is coming into your life, and you are coming into his life as a gospel risk taker who doesn't just know about God, but you actually know God. And that's why at the end of the day, you say to God, I'll go anywhere. I'll go anywhere on the planet. I'll endure anything. I'll go anywhere. I'll say what needs to be said. I'll do whatever needs to be done because I know you and I trust you. I didn't learn about you in the Sunday school class. I didn't sit in a church and hear sermons about you. I forged a relationship with you in a furnace that I'll never forget, and I will go anywhere and do anything because I trust you and I love you. And people that have gone through that would say, I never want to go through it again, but I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Thank you, Pastor Sam. Today's speaker, Dr. Sam Horn, is the pastor for preaching and vision at Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. Join us for Sunday morning worship at 9 a.m. or 10:45 a.m. You can find us online at pbcpowdersville.org. If you have any questions about PBC, please email radio@pbcpowdersville.org. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time so together we can grow in grace.